This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Why don't you get yourself a woman?
No time for... And if I were you, Amius, I wouldn't get tied up with any more.
It's all very well for you to talk. I just can't leave women alone.
How about Caroline?
Is she cutting up rough? Oh, what do you think? Thank the Lord you've come, Phil. Living in this house with four women on your neck is enough to drive any man to the loony bin.
Four?
Well, there's Caroline being bloody to Elsa in a well-bred, polite sort of way. Elsa being just plain bloody to Caroline. Then there's Angela hating my guts because at last I persuaded Caroline to send her to a boarding school. Oh, she ought to have gone years ago. She's a nice kid, really, but Caroline spoils her and she's inclined to run wild. She put a hedgehog in my bed last week. Oh, yes, very funny, very funny. But you wait until you ram your feet down on a lot of ruddy prickles. And then, lastly but not leastly, there's the governess. Hates me like poison. Sits there at meals with her lips set together, oozing disappointment.
They seem to have got you down a bit.
That's it.
Okay, I need to step in here and remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and always on the World Wide Web at dubcubed.kpft.org. Barbara? Well, you're buddy.
Who's Barbara?
To me.
Yeah, I know. Barbara Hartman is just the name that goes in the program. Everybody calls me Bunny. That's right.
I have got to see this play, if only to see what it took to get you to turn David Barron into Sir Laurence Olivier.
Well, he's a very nice Sir Laurence, if you want to call him that.
So when's it running?
Yes.
It runs through May 16th. We have two matinees, May 3rd and May 10th at 3 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays shows are at 8:30. And you can call for reservations at 713-682-3525. Tickets for adults are $12, students and seniors $10. Sunday matinees are $10 for everyone.
Wow. Nice. Now, you're in a new location.
That's correct.
Now, why don't you tell folks how to get there?
Well, the new location is 41006 Way Out West Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Way Out West Drive is off of 43rd Street just before you hit Hempstead. And it curves around and hits Hempstead.
Yeah.
So it's between 43rd and Hempstead.
Okay, the way I do it is I just go to the old Theater Suburbia,
mm-hmm,
and keep going on 43rd until I hit Hempstead, then make a U-turn.
Right.
And
the highway, not Hempstead.
Yeah, the highway.
We're not going all the way out there. 290 North to 43rd Street and turn left on 43rd Street,
yeah,
and continue that way.
That's right.
That's correct. Yes, I've done that U-turn thing too. The first
absolutely, because you just, you don't, you, it
it's
takes you a,
a
while to get that.
Well-marked, yeah.
So you make
that's
the
way
U-turn
out there by Chris.
On the Esplanade.
Yeah.
Theater Suburbia. Yeah. Theater Suburbia.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. Great.
Well, thank you, Jimmy, for having us on here.
Absolutely. You know, every time.
We love to come. It's always fun.
And I am dying to see what Theater Suburbia does with an Agatha Christie.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
The set is amazing. You have to come see the set, Jimmy. I was there last night. I just didn't stay for the second act because I have to come back next Friday.
So she still doesn't know who the murderer
is.
No. Don't ask.
Don't want to know.
Don't ask. We're having a little contest, too, at intermission.
No kidding.
Yes, we have little pans out there, and you can guess who the murderer is.
Okay.
And then out of the pan that contains the correct person, we draw one name, and they get tickets for the next show.
Fabulous. Great.
Another reason
to go see it.
Exactly.
There you go.
Oh, we did have our 2-for-1 deal, too, though.
That's
anybody
right.
Who calls a theater and says they heard us on KPFT After Hours gets buy one, get one free.
That's
yep.
True.
Nice cheap date.
Cheap date. That's right.
Don't tell her that or him that.
That's right.
They got the ticket they got paid for.
Okay, then. Am I supposed to stay in here, Jimmy?
Yes, you are.
All right. Well, thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
See you next time, guys.
Bet. Thank you for coming and staying and waiting. Yep. I appreciate it. Do we have a piece of music?
Yeah, we got a little interlude while we get ready for our next segment.
Okay, so, sure. Let's go
little,
to it.
Little Pansy Division.
Okay.
Oh, and he says, why don't we go out on the town? We'll treat ourselves like we're not put down, because every day is a reason, because every day is a reason. It's all right, it's okay, it doesn't matter what they say. Sticks and stones may break our bones, we're still a family anyway.
Content. to let me shine. And you always walked a step behind. I was the one with all the glory. While you were the one with all the strength. Only a face without a name. I never once heard you complain.
And that was Sid Spencer with Wind Beneath My Wings. Before that was Horse, The Look of Love. Prior to that was Jeffrey Altergott, Every Day is a Reason. And we started that whole set off with Pansy Division, Kissed. And in the studio, we got G-Cam, good old Jimmy Carper.
Yes.
And Judy,
and
minus the couch.
Yes.
Okay, you know, Wes, you haven't been around very long, and I could squash you like a bug.
Bring it on, baby.
Yeah, you
Ooh.
Wish. No, you know what? I don't
Ooh,
beat people up.
Good to have a slap down here.
Don't want to do anything to improve your hint, your attitude.
Ooh.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Wes is wonderful, I love him.
Yeah.
But don't tell him that.
Okay.
And I don't want his couch, so it's okay. I don't need his couch, I don't want his couch.
I don't. I have a love seat and a couch.
I don't really
do
want
you
anything.
Now?
Yes, I do. I actually have a... even though I live in an apartment, it feels like a house.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a townhome style.
Funny? I live in an apartment and it doesn't feel like a house.
It's a townhome style.
Oh, nice.
So
you have an upstairs and downstairs.
Yeah, well, the only thing upstairs is my roommate's bedroom.
Ah.
My bedroom's downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the way the whole place is set up, I mean, it's not like my last apartment, which was a box, because we had... you walk in, you got the living room right behind. That's the kitchen.
The box, didn't you leave earlier?
Kitchen and dining room, and then on either side was bedrooms. So it was kind of a box formation. But,
sure.
But this place, and my mom said it best, and that's like I didn't have the right words for it, but she, when she walked in, she's like, this actually is like a home.
Aww.
So, I mean, it's because you walk in, you see the living room over here, and then it's actually divided where you actually have separate dining room and a wall, and then the kitchen. So, I mean, it's actually pretty nice. I like it.
Nice.
My house has walls now. I like it a lot better that way. Well, it does.
You could walk through the walls before?
Actually, you'd have to kind of get down and roll through because there were only 2 feet of wall that was missing from the floor. But it's a lot nicer. And you don't echo so much anymore in my house because it's actually two or three pieces of furniture.
Yeah. What's sad is I moved in and, what was it, Ike came rolling through, which was...
Yeah, tell me about it.
Shortly after I moved in. I mean, I hadn't even been in there a month and Ike rolled through. And... we had a little bit of water damage, but it was enough that they actually had to come in and cut from... because we have a vaulted ceiling in the living room.
Ah.
So they had to go all the way to the top of the vault.
Ooh.
And cut all the way down to the corner of the living room, right by the fireplace.
Yeah.
And it's the way that our... the way it's weird the way it's set up. So it's probably like about a 6-foot section in length. And then they had to come down the wall about maybe 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And... cut all that out.
Oh.
So for like a week, we could see the end of the rafters.
I can do that in my garage still.
And it's like, and they also, actually, and also there's a divider wall between that and the, between the living room and the stairs.
Yes.
They actually had to take a section of that out too.
Wow.
And they put up the hole in the wall, a hole in the ceiling before they fixed the divider wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it took like another 2 weeks before they came back and fixed the divider wall.
Oh, I'm glad Hague is faster than that.
Yeah, me too.
But, I mean, all in all, it was probably about a month after the storm, I mean, we had everything fixed.
Yeah.
Unlike Judy, who's...
bite me.
Yeah.
Still trying to get her place fixed.
Well, actually, I called him in October, shortly after the storm.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the end of September, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he said... and I talked to a friend of mine who's a contractor. And a really nice guy. I've known him for 11, 12 years. He's done a lot of work for me over the years. And I said, Eric... I need you to come over and look at my house. He says, I'll put you on a waiting list. See you in February or March. And he was like, far from that. In March is when we got started.
Yeah.
Well, I had what's funny is, and it's like one part of my extended family I'm not very familiar with, but they're the presidents and vice presidents of one of the local building agencies.
Oh.
I'm not going to say which one on the air, but...
yeah.
Lots of money.
Oh.
And I have more extended family. Actually, they're almost blood relation. Yeah, they are, basically. They're my grandfather's brother's children's...
it's thin blood, but it's there.
Yeah. it's getting down to like second and third cousins at that point, but they're all in the construction business, too. And they've built most of their own homes and stuff like that. And
gosh.
Well, they got some really nice homes,
too. The thing I love about Eric is that he bumped me up on the list to get to me by February or March.
Yeah.
So it's been a nightmare.
But the nice thing about that is you thought you were going to lose your hardwood floors.
Yes,
but the extended wait that you had, the several months that went by...
six, but who's counting?
they dried out to a point where you could just have them sanded down rather than replaced.
They didn't warp.
Took them 5 days to do it, but those are the most magnificent floors you ever saw.
But they didn't warp at all?
Well,
no. Well, what little warping there was in the room that got hit the hardest, the one where the tree landed, they managed to sand down to where it was okay.
Yeah. You didn't stay home during the storm, did you?
No.
No, I'm on Jimmy's couch.
No, she was with me.
That was like post-surgery for me. I had just had surgery a week before on my hand, on my thumb.
I remember that. Yeah.
So,
At least you weren't home during it, so you didn't you weren't scared by a tree falling.
And it,
oh my God, that was horrible.
I live in a very...
I can imagine what you said. I can imagine what you said after you went home and looked at it.
Oh,
yeah.
She was
Jimmy
not
took me,
happy.
And it was like, I just cried. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Well, the hurricane took the tree down, and then the very next day when all those storms hit, took the bio out. So that's when I took in the 8 inches on the bottom after I'd already taken off the top.
Yeah.
So it was not pretty.
No.
I can imagine.
No.
But everything in my house is new except the concrete slab and the studs. And there's even two new studs.
Yeah.
And I have a stud working on my... never mind.
So she's got, you know, she was able to keep the 50-year-old hardwood floors.
Wow.
60, but who's counting?
And but everything else is updated.
Wow. Yeah. Very nice.
Really,
my kitchen's
really
magnificent
nice.
If we ever get it in. We've been fighting it for 3 days.
Yes. Ah! But that's how long have you owned the house?
6 years.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, I bought it from the original owners. The
really?
Grandchildren
mm-hmm.
of the original owners. Yeah. The guy who built it. In fact, the guy built most of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
Really
so you really don't, you don't have a mortgage per se?
Nope. Don't have a mortgage, period.
Cool.
Pay cash.
That's
yeah.
always nice.
Yeah, I couldn't afford a mortgage. It was a divorce settlement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's going on with GCAM?
Yeah.
Well, GCAM's been very, very busy.
Yes.
Happy now.
Now
mm-hmm.
we have nothing to do. No. We did. We had, like...
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Eliminations Project.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
GCAM. Oh, it was fabulous. Oh, it was so much fun. Interesting entertainers, some new entertainers, and it was just really an upbeat, great show. Falcon is... Scott are great co-hosts and so on. Mm-hmm. They always, you know. So it was really a great show. Now
because Illuminations Project and GCAM are kind of married.
Yes, they are. GCAM is the umbrella for Illuminations Project this year, and GCAM and Montrose Counseling Center are the charities this year that Illuminations is mm-hmm. is doing all this for. It's going to be on November 11th at Zilka Hall. And just watch your emails. More information yeah. is going to be coming. We've got three more shows. Listen to me. Illuminations Project Falcon has three more shows coming up between now and November.
It's a little early because it's really a celebration
right
of
now.
World AIDS Day. But,
yes, it is.
But it's November the 11th.
And they're doing three more shows. Now, these four shows are... Partially mainly, I think. I'm not speaking out of turn. They're to raise funds to buy tickets or pay for tickets for people who would not otherwise be able to afford to go, especially people with HIV and AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real important time for this project. And so everybody keeps saying, oh, GCAM and MCC made all this money. No, we didn't, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand or misinterpret that. Falcon is doing things the same way he did last year, and he did a fabulous job last
year. Yes.
And it's going to be bigger and better this year.
Absolutely.
And so we're very excited about being a part of that. And the next show, I think, is...
I don't know.
This is April, June the 5th at
George.
2 days
after my birthday.
Well, come to the show.
Unless somebody buys me a birthday Schillander. Ticket.
Okay.
Buy me a birthday ticket, I'll be there.
Okay.
Well,
in fact, I might... In fact, speaking of that, I have a friend of mine, a real good friend of mine from Florida when I lived out there, who's going to come visit me for my birthday.
Ta-da. Oh, that's nice.
Now, which is your birthday? June the 5th or November 11th?
June the 3rd.
June the 3rd.
Okay. Well, yeah. You don't have to have a ticket for that. You just come to George.
Yeah.
We'll sing you happy birthday. That'll work.
Yes.
And I know that Sarah Schillander, Sarah and Josh, last name.
Josh and Marie Gill.
And Josh and Marie Gill.
Yeah.
And Sarah Schillander and Scott Kenyon mm-hmm. and are all helping Falcon out this year. He's kind of gotten a little committee together that's working very hard already. They're meeting a lot. GCAM also had their own fundraiser on Sunday.
Yes, we did.
I really thought that our ambassador would be here to talk about it, but since he's not, I guess we will.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. It was on EJ's patio. It wasn't too warm. It was just about right warm. We had a nice breeze.
Yes.
Had a good crowd. Raised quite a bit of money.
$667 is what I recall.
But actually it's $677 because Sarah called and she found $10 in her...
Oh.
On her person.
On her person.
Somebody hit
actually,
it on her, did they?
No, actually she found a couple of dollars that had been folded together. Mm-hmm. And so they were at a different bar at that point in time. And so she found these and was like, oh, look at this, you know, blah, blah. And somebody says, well, what's that? And so she told them. And before it was all said and done, people had thrown dollars at her, and she had $10 more for GCAM.
There we go.
Next time I see her, we will be collecting that as founder and treasurer of
yes.
GCAM. I'm very happy every dollar counts.
She's quite quite a shiller.
Sure, yes. That's a good word for Sarah.
I
even want to give her money, you know? It's like
I am a laid-back co-host.
Yes, you are. Well, hi, Chris.
You actually made Chris laugh.
Wow, so I heard. compared to Sarah, he sleeps through the show.
Yes, I'm not Mr. Excitement.
No.
When it comes to co-hosts.
But he gets the point across.
Well, especially live.
Duh. You know,
like in front of real people. It's not the personality that you know from the radio.
And Mark is very quiet.
Yeah, and Mark is very quiet. So Sarah just grabbed the mic and just started.
I was going to say, Jimmy is quiet and laid back.
Unbelievably so.
Careful.
It's usually only at BJ's.
So Sarah grabbed a mic and she just went around the bar and
she even went up on the patio.
The patio bar and up on the
Ginger was on. It's like, wow, they were like throwing money down
up
from the balcony.
To the martini.
Ginger.
Yeah, they were throwing money down. That
and
was great.
Kumba
too.
Was there. Kuma. I'm sorry.
Oh, Kumba.
Oh
yeah.
My God! Talk about fabulous entertainment.
Yes, from Gender Men.
Yes.
He's part of the Gender Men group.
Yes. And Sarah's...
Or I should say maybe her, H-I-R.
Okay, she said she didn't... She said he didn't care.
Okay.
He said she didn't care. She doesn't know.
Pick one.
Why should she?
Yeah.
Yes. Whoever it is, whatever it is...
Kumba is very androgynous.
Yes.
Very androgynous.
Yes. But an entertainer like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
I just love it. Costumes, props.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous song. Oh, my God, that song. I'd never heard it before.
There's a reason.
It was
somebody took a Disney song and made it very, very different.
Yes. It was fabulous. And Craig, our own Craig Farrell, chairman of the board, was our DJ for the day.
He also sang live
for us. Yes, he closed the show. And Ginger.
Ginger Vitus.
Yes. Ginger did a couple of numbers. Uh-huh. Mark did a number, and he had his sister in it. His real live sister.
Yes.
His girl sister person.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Vanessa.
Really an entertainer.
Who is... fabulously gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes.
And Kimberly.
Kimberly and O'Neill. Yes.
From Aretha's. Yes. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of good entertainers.
We did.
We had a lot of good audience members.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
But to keep GCAM alive, we need to do a show like that every month. And that's
bite
just,
me.
I know. It's just impossible.
We're doing that, we're supposed to be doing the exhibit. And
I know. That's the thing. It takes all your effort to put on a show like that once a month.
Yeah.
And then we don't have any effort left to keep
the
museum going.
We really are a very small group. There are basically four or five of us who keep the thing going, and we have a couple of people in that group of five have changed over the years.
Yeah.
They change periodically. Three of us pretty much remain stagnant.
Yeah.
Actually, two of us, but we won't go there.
Well, I don't.
Stagnant. Well, I mean, we were. Whatever.
Maybe stagnant isn't the right word.
I feel like it. Okay. Remain.
No comment.
There.
Yes.
And so it's always rotating people to some degree, but it's always a small core group.
It is.
We're also getting involved to some degree,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really want to make this a huge thing, but we're getting involved with some degree, with the Houston Arch Group, which is a group that Brian Riedel out
mm-hmm.
at Rice University is trying to put together, so to speak, with all the historic collectors in our community. And we're getting some
we certainly want to help
now.
Them out, but
yeah.
not to the detriment of our own organization.
Yes. So that's working out kind of interestingly. Craig and I have met a couple of times with people, and then
mm-hmm.
there have been a couple of big meetings, community-type meetings,
yes.
which, believe it or not, I haven't attended one yet. I've always got something going.
I know.
A refrigerator or a dishwasher.
Something
or a bathroom,
is being
you know.
Delivered, yes.
But so we are kind of getting involved with that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I actually think that Brian and Craig and I are going to be on Queer Voices sometime in May for
really?
That as well.
Wonderful.
Around the 20th.
Good.
So that's something that people just need to start kind of listening for.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a huge website that just went up. It's not open yet. We're still all the editors are working on it right now.
But it's Houston Arch, and it's about queer history in Houston.
Yes. And so that's going to be a real... I mean, I had to sit down and do, like, an inventory type thing. Not of our collection, which would be massive to try to sit down and do a questionnaire on. But I had to do I think it was like 18 or 19 pages on the building that houses the collection.
Ah.
I mean, they even wanted to know the composition of the interior of the roof, as in attic.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. They wanted to know the kind of air conditioning system we had. It was like, I know more about where the collection is kept now than I've ever wanted to know in my entire life. I'm not a contractor. Thank God I've been working on my house all these weeks so that I could... Oh, I know what that is.
So how many studs are in the building?
Yeah.
Really? It's none. It's a metal. No.
No. They're all bottoms.
No. So it was really just... It's interesting. Okay, then. We do want to invite people out to the GLBT Cultural Center.
Yes, we do.
In the Montrose Counseling Center building at 401 Brainerd Street. They need to call...
Or Brainerd, if you're an old Houstonian.
I am an old Houstonian. That's why I called it Brainerd. It was Brainerd when my now 90-year-old aunt lived on it some years back.
I see.
We won't go there. She's a spinster in the family.
Back in the 60s and 70s, it became Brainerd.
Whatever. Brainerd. Anyway... that's because she was never hoity-toity.
Oh.
Brainerd is okay. But...
There's no I anyway. In Brainerd.
I don't care.
She's going to reach across and beat you.
Bray, B-R-A, Nard, N-A-R-D,
okay.
Brainerd.
Okay, whatever.
You could call it Brainerd. No,
yeah, yeah.
Bra nerd. Anyway.
You nerd.
We won't go there either. They need to either... They can go to www.gcam.org.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can call me at 832-722-5785. And thank you, Jesus. My phone was turned back on this week as well. And my computer are both on at the house
yes.
now. But anyway, we'll change the number.
Between noon and midnight.
Between noon and midnight. You can even call as late as 2 and 3 a.m., but do not call before noon because I am not responsible for what I might say on the phone if you do. My son called me at 7:30 this morning. That's another story. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
I bet he got an earful, didn't he?
No, because he had it on speakerphone, and my granddaughter was with him. So he will get it tomorrow.
Oh, will he ever?
Oh yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh yeah. So anyway, what else are we doing? Open your mouth.
It is open.
Actually,
there's just nothing coming out
on the board anymore. I'm not
get
privy
a
to
grip.
All of this.
actually, Sarah Scholander, Miss Gay Pride.
Miss Gay Pride.
Yes. I don't know if she's Ms., Mr., Miss, whatever they are. They've got so many titles.
Yeah.
So beautiful. But she's going to be doing a couple of fundraisers here in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, good.
I swear to God, I do not have the dates in my head.
Okay.
But they're hers. And I believe that those shows are... I'm not going to say they're split, but there is a room over at the...
The Stella Link Seville Room.
At the Montrose Counseling Center,
yes.
which... They paid an X amount for.
That's right.
And she, as Miss Gay Pride, all the Gay Pride people this year decided that they were going to finish paying for that room. And
mm-hmm.
there's not a lot left to pay.
Uh-huh.
So what they're going to do is Sarah's fundraisers are going to pay off the rest of that room, and the remainder of that is going to be swept into GCAM as the beneficiary for the shows.
Oh.
So there's no way of saying, oh, it's percentages. It's not a percentage. It's, I think there's... 200 and something in the room, or whatever.
Know.
It's not my business. I don't care.
But her shows are going until that's paid off, and then GCAM gets the money.
Recipient, yes.
Okay.
And that's her Western shows, May 1st and...
Yeah?
Yeah, May 1st and 2nd. The first weekend, the first show is going to be at the BRB,
uh-huh.
and the second one is going to be at Chances, Friday
wow.
and Saturday nights. And I say that because I know now I can't be there.
I did not know this. Wow.
Wow.
That's like next weekend.
Yeah, it's coming up. We were supposed to do a number, but we can't.
Wow. Okay, so the first is...
It's at the BRB, and it's they're both Western shows. One is like pre-1980s, and the other one is post-1980s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't have all the details, but I'm sure you should have announced it tonight. If you didn't, you're very remiss. But anyway.
Has there been a poster?
Yes, there has.
Yeah, he talked about it last week.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
You're in trouble now. Okay. But anyway.
Jimmy, pick your jaw up.
Yeah, hello. Before the pussy steps on it. Anyway. You're going to miss us when we're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So Friday night at the BRB, Saturday night at whatever
Chances.
The first is.
The first is Friday.
It's a Friday.
And Saturday
is at Chances.
Chances.
And they're both like late. I think the BRB is like 9 o'clock, and I think Chances is like 10 or something. It's
wow.
A late show. Chances always does late shows. But she's kind of like pre-picking or pre-doing the lineup, because it's not that nobody's welcome. It's like everybody's welcome, but they need to contact Sarah.
Because there's specific music.
Ah. It's pre-80s and post-80s, and it's all
gotcha.
Country western and so on. And
so Friday night's going to be... Tammy Wynette and
we were supposed to be doing
and George Jones yeah
but we can't
and we can't
we just miss that's too bad
and then Reba is going to be for
Saturday night.
Okay
yeah
gotcha
so
and Faith Hill and
I can't go to Chances that just makes me sick but I can't do it strobe lights
yeah I know
yeah.
It's
seizures
kind of tough
so that's rough
okay.
I don't know what else we're doing, so I guess that'll
wow.
just have to do it.
That should
yeah.
do it.
Yeah. Yay.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for corralling the Theater Suburbia crowd.
That was a tough crowd to corral.
Yeah.
There's like 12 of them here.
Wow.
That one girl, I swear, the sister with the scar on her face.
Yeah.
The scar was theater. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I
caught that.
Does she not look like my niece?
Yes,
Catherine.
She does.
Oh, my God. Catherine is so blonde, and she is so dark. With that
yeah.
dark. She said she was blonde once, but she walked out on that stage last night, and my jaw dropped. I was like, what's that? And then she opened her mouth and went, oh, it's not Catherine. I swear, I thought it was my niece. I did.
Yeah.
And they're about the same age.
Yeah,
it
they
was,
are.
It was a really good and interesting play, and it's like this constant shuffling of set. I mean, they have the first act is 5 scenes.
Ooh.
And it's in 5 different sets.
How do they do that?
And it's a very quick scene. It was like an hour. I mean, a very quick act is an hour.
Mm.
So it was fast. It's worth it to come see just to watch them do that.
Wow.
She has 3 stage managers. Yeah.
Wow.
So I had to put on my other hat for
okay.
you know how it is. Well, thank you very much, Wes.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Judy.
Chris the Giggler, he's gone again.
No, he's still here, but
okay.
he's
he
fading.
Doesn't speak to me.
He's fading fast.
Oh, I'm so sorry. He just wants to talk about Jimmy and the Pussy.
He usually does.
Bye, Chris.
He will.
Hey, well.
Okay.
Trust him.
We got some music?
Yeah, we got a few.
Ah.
All right. Here we go.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. The wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Wake up, you sleepy head. Rub your eyes, get out of bed. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
She's gone, the wicked witch. that I was destined to be the kind of guy who never really fits in and never keeps in time. So now I've started asking the question on my mind, what kind of self-respecting faggot am I? I moved to San Francisco. It seemed the place to be, but I'm not into disco. And bars intimidate me. My only can of Crisco is where it's supposed to be. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I? Don't own a single record by Barbara, Bett, or Judy. Heard of Betty Davis, but never saw her movies. Guess I'm irresponsible. It seems I shirk my duty. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I? All I can do is sit and smile. I don't punch on Sundays. Don't own a set of weights. I wouldn't dream of screwing till after several days. I know it's quite pathetic. I might as well be straight. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I? Thank you.
is love I can be sure of. So tell me now, and I won't ask again.
Was Ray Barker doing Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Before that was Romanofsky and Phillips, What Kind of Self-Respecting Faggot Am I? With Claus Nomi, Ding Dong, The Witch is Dead, right before that. And let's see, we got Merlin in the studio with Jimmy now.
Hell. Well, hey, I like that Wrinkle Bear. Wrinkle in Time by Music Bear.
Ray Baker.
Yeah, he's more kind of a folky kind of guy with a folky kind of voice, and so
that's all I was noticing.
That that was really smooth and sweet on that last one.
Yeah.
Will You Still Love Me Forever?
Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. I've heard lots of versions of that song, and that one's different. It stands out.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Of course, Klaus Nomi.
That was a
classic.
That was an interesting one. I've never heard it done that way.
Oh, everything he does on that CD is done differently.
I can imagine. Just looking at the cover picture, I was like,
because he had this kind of falsetto voice.
I like it.
That he used a lot.
Well, like I said, looking at this picture, I mean, I didn't realize that it was somebody dressed in drag.
Yes, he was very androgynous.
Yeah, so I'm like looking at this picture, and I'm like, okay, who is this chick?
Surprise!
And surprise me, it's not a chick, it's a guy.
A guy.
So,
yeah.
Who knew?
We lost him to AIDS very early on.
Lost a lot of people to AIDS.
Yes, we did.
In fact, I had a third cousin who died from AIDS back in 93, actually.
Mm.
I had just gotten to my first naval station. When I got the phone call from my mother that he had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, funny story about that is I'd never met him in person because he was living in Oklahoma when I found out about him and everything. And my mom was on a telephone call with my grandmother. And just a little background on my grandmother, she's blind, has been since birth.
Mm-hmm.
And unbeknownst to me, they went ahead and called him up. Now, this would have been my mom's second cousin, I think. And got him on the phone, and then my mom called me into the room and said, I got somebody that wants to talk to you. I was like, okay. So I get on the phone, and I hear my grandmother's voice, and I tell her hi and all that. And then he starts talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice to actually be able to talk to him, because I'd written him cards and letters and stuff like that because I knew he was sick and everything.
Yeah.
And I had heard some of his music because he was a musician.
Oh.
He was a singer, writer, pianist, producer.
Yeah.
So he had this tape he made. It was all him. He did the main vocals, he did the backup vocals, he played the piano, he produced the tape, edited it, the whole nine yards. The only thing he really didn't do was actually mass produce it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually got the CD at home. He wasn't gay or anything. He was an unfortunate man that ended up getting the virus through transfusions.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting there talking on the phone. Now, mind you, I'm in high school at the time, getting ready to go to the Navy. We're on the phone, and my grandmother, like I said, who's blind, hearing a lot better than normal people, she couldn't tell who was talking when, because we sounded exactly the same.
Really?
And I've had people who will hear that tape. I'll play that tape sometimes, and I'll sing along with it, and they're like, is that you? I'm like, no.
Amazing.
So, it is amazing, and he was an amazing guy, very steeped in religion and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, the one card I've got from him at home is a lot of religious stuff to it, but the whole sentiment behind it was what made me keep the card, and just knowing that there was somebody in my family that was affected by the virus, so.
Yeah.
And when I found out he had passed, I was a little upset. And, of course, a few years later, there was a group. I can't remember the name of the group, but I've got some CDs at home that have them on it that took all of his music and didn't rewrite the words, but re-recorded it using their style.
Yeah.
And they're good, but not as good as what he did. So, it's quite amazing.
Wow.
So... enough about me and my...
No, it's a wonderful, touching story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and of course, I've had lots and lots of friends with the virus and everything, being in the chorus down in Florida.
Sure.
98% of the members of that chorus were HIV positive or AIDS.
Yeah.
One of them really, really sick, in and out of the hospital all the time. I've lost touch with that whole group, so I don't know if he's still with us or not.
It seems as though a lot of gay men from the Upper East Coast, especially New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, when they got sick, they decided that they wanted to retire to South Florida.
Yeah.
So,
so to speak.
Yeah. Better weather, you know, better for the disease.
Yeah, it's a bit warmer down there.
Sure.
It doesn't get near as cold as most places
exactly,
in the U.S.
Exactly, yeah.
In fact, I remember living down...
Certainly not
I was
snow.
Down there for like 7 years, and I think I wore a jacket maybe three times the entire time I lived down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I say three times, I mean like three separate days.
When
people here in Houston are sitting here dressing up in... putting on long johns and sweats and then their regular clothes and then throwing on three jackets. I was running around down in South Florida wearing a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Windows wide open.
My. But I can imagine that I having the disease myself, I can't imagine fighting snow in a really cold, damp winter.
Yeah.
Having this disease, it'd be a little rough.
I'll put it this way. Some of the guys that I knew in the chorus actually surprised me when I found out that they were infected.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would have never guessed. And one of them ended up being my roommate for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know he had it until I came out of my room one day and was passing through the living room and headed towards the kitchen. And he was sitting there taking his cocktail.
Yeah.
And I looked at him. I said, are you HIV positive? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
That's odd. I would think that might come out in a conversation before you became roommates.
Well, being around so many men that were HIV positive or
AIDS, maybe he just assumed you were.
I don't think he did.
Oh.
Of course, it was never a topic of conversation. And as you notice, just by what I said, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was no big deal to me. I mean, with some of the advances we've had and stuff like that, people are living longer and longer with it. I mean, one of the guys in the chorus had it since, like, the mid-70s and was leading a perfectly normal life. I mean, obviously, he was still on disability and everything, but he was living a pretty normal life.
Well, I don't know that he had it from the mid-70s. It wasn't discovered until 1981.
Well, whatever.
Okay.
From the onset.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
He
it's
probably
been late.
He may have had it from the mid-70s because this type of disease incubates for about 10 years before you notice anything happening.
But. Oh, yeah. It is time for Station ID.
Yes, it is.
You are listening to After Hours, Career Radio with Attitude on Pacifica-sponsored, listener-sponsored 90.1 FM Houston, KPFT, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always on the World Wide Web at www.kpft.org.
That's right. This is KPFT Houston. Ah, so, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got Merlin sitting next to you.
We do.
Hi. Speaking of...
We do.
Speaking of my many, many friends with that are...
HIV
afflicted.
Positive. That's one of the many things I've been called.
Merlin. Merlin being one of my, probably one of my closest friends now.
Thank you.
Even though we don't speak a whole lot during the week, you still are a pretty close friend to me.
Thank you.
Well, you weren't here last week.
No, I was not here.
Where did you go last
and
week?
You're always here.
Yes,
so
I am.
It was really kind of quiet.
There are only two reasons I am not here.
Three.
I'm either in the hospital or at an event of some kind that takes me out of town. And I was at an event that took me out of town.
And which event?
Beltane.
Woo!
Pagan Rites of Spring.
Okay. Oh my God, you're a pagan?
Yeah!
As if you didn't know.
As if you didn't know, you silly boy.
Okay.
You silly pink fairy, you.
I was going to say, boy doesn't describe Jimmy anymore.
Well, compared to his
boy
husband, it does.
Boy is a state of mind.
Compared to his husband, it does.
Yes, I do. As long as Stanley's alive, I'll always be a boy.
Yes. So anyhow.
It is a
relative thing.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Relative to who?
Yeah. But yes, I was at Beltane. I was at the Council of Magical Arts Beltane.
Where?
Oh, about 10 minutes from downtown Bastrop.
Oh.
Bastrop has a downtown?
And I say downtown euphemistically because Bastrop is the one horse town where the horse done left years ago.
And the red light's still blinking?
And the red light's still blinking.
Oh, and they have a light.
They might. I didn't actually see one while I was there.
It's a small town.
It's a very small town.
Okay.
You blink, you might miss it as you're driving through at 20 miles an hour.
Sounds like Meridian, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but it's out in the middle of the woods, and... Lots of happy pagan folks celebrating the rituals that come with the rites of spring, celebrating fertility and, you know, sexuality in its forms. You see, once upon a time, Beltane was all... Don't give me that.
No, I'm just... The mind wonders about how they would celebrate fertility.
Well... Let me tell you.
I think that's something that we can't discuss on the air.
Well, parts of it we can't.
We can discuss it. We just...
History records.
We can't demonstrate.
Yes, we can't demonstrate.
We've been in trouble by doing that before.
Oh, yeah.
So,
anyhow,
Beltane base... In ancient days when people actually believed in the gods of everything, there was a god for everything. And the god or goddess or deity or, you know, spirit of everything. The people felt that the fertility of the land was incredibly important to them. Bad crops meant people died in hundreds. So they would do rituals to encourage the fertility of the land.
Sure.
And during Beltane, one of the things they would do is by sympathetic magic, they thought that being sexual amongst each other meant, and in the fields where stuff was planted, they would, that sexuality, that fertility would be transferred to the crops.
Would it, even masturbation?
Yes.
Yes.
And as the Charge of the Goddess says, you know, all acts of love and pleasure are rituals unto the, you know, unto me. I would be more specific in saying more all consensual acts.
Well, yeah. We're certainly not framing this as an orgy in the woods.
Not entirely, no.
Nice dance around.
Well, not entirely. Yeah.
Now, and it's, and lots, and this event tends to be, this particular ritual tends to be lots of intimate times, but it's also celebrations and feasts and
bonfires, drumming, yeah,
you know, anything to raise the energy of the land.
Sure.
This particular event ended up being a bit on the damp side.
Oh, did it rain?
Yeah. Does a bear poop in the woods?
I don't know. You were out there. Can you tell us?
No, but the cows did. Everywhere. There's a cattle farm ranch right next door.
Woo!
And apparently we allow them to wander through when we're not there.
So they left y'all some nice presents?
Oh, hundreds. Matter of fact, one newbie actually picked one up, not having absolutely no idea what she was playing with. And when she was told what that was, she was like, it flew out of her hands, and her hands went all up like,
I'll
oh my
bet.
God. Anyhow.
I'll bet.
But, pagans, modern day pagans, still try to hold to a lot of the old rites, as many as could be dug up from, you know, the history.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the history having been, you know,
well, destroyed. Yeah.
Destroyed. But these events are truly, while there is the element of sexuality and intimacy, these events are also gatherings of friends.
Sure.
They are, and who all follow some path that is not, you know, do what I do or you're not right.
And some rites have to be modernized.
Yes, and we modernize the rites, and we, and no two ritual, without giving too much away of the events of the, and not getting into the rain thing just yet.
Right.
The last ritual that was done, we call the revel fire. We have a huge bonfire, and since there was no burn ban, we have fire.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the, like closing ceremonies?
That would be like, it's kind of like closing ceremonies. Uh-huh. It's usually held the last night before everybody leaves, like Saturday night.
Yeah.
And they will do a ritual. This last ritual was done by the GLBT group that's out there.
Oh.
And again, it's done uniquely. We have part of a ritual, most rituals is called calling the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
North, south, east, west, with, you know, earth, air, fire, water.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. Yes,
earth, air,
that's
fire,
kind of the opening of a lot of different rites.
That's the opening and closing to a lot of different rituals. And this one was done with music.
Oh.
A didgeridoo.
A didgeridoo?
Yes.
Okay.
A trumpet. A trumpet out of which suddenly emanated somewhere over the rainbow.
On a trumpet. Okay.
And at that moment, there were at least 50 people in this ritual, in the circle.
Yes.
And at that moment, there were 50 people almost ready to fall on the ground when they heard somewhere over the rainbow coming the way.
Trumpet, yes.
I'm telling you. Girl.
Oh, wow.
And, but during the course of the weekend, you'll also hear a lot of night song. At least that's what I'm going to call it.
Oh. Yeah, I bet that's what it was.
This is a camping event. People are in their tents. There is no such thing as there is no such thing as a soundproof tent.
So, sounds of joy.
Joy were emanating.
Sounds of nature were
sounds
going on.
Sounds of nature were emanating from the tents.
Oh my.
Poor Jimmy.
The mind reels.
I'm sure. The problem was...
Come on, May 8th.
Jimmy's already got his tent packed.
Oh, I'm telling you. He's like... he's ready to go. Yeah, so am I.
This one was a little different.
This one was a little different. There were issues. Mostly, the gods have a sense of humor and decided to pee all over.
The fertility gods didn't wait for y'all to go home.
No, they didn't. It rained, and it rained considerably one night. There was a downpour.
Was this Friday?
This would be Friday/Saturday morning.
Okay.
Friday night/Saturday. I didn't want to leave my tent for some reason. There was this sound that went by the tents.
Yeah.
You know what they say about if you hear the sound of a freight train in a storm and you're nowhere near the tracks?
Oh.
You remember that Somewhere Over the Rainbow I talked about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to be Dorothy, I think.
you were bending over and seeing your posterior?
And your little dog, too. Yes.
And your little dog, too. And so the next morning, I get up, and we have a row of people selling various pagan wares and things, right? And half of those tents on one side of that aisle were not in the same condition they had been put up in. Several of them look like various pieces of modern art.
You were saying that a lot of them are campers.
Yes, all of these
pop up.
Well, pop up tents. They're not campers.
Oh, okay.
They're the campers. That's another issue.
Okay.
This whole event is camping.
Yeah.
I mean, but these are pop up. These are the easy ups.
Oh.
You know, the kind of, you know, those white tents that you usually see at outdoor weddings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's that kind of thing.
I see.
And that's what people put their wares under and sell their stuff, and it's all lovely, really. It's a lot of fun and it's cool, and you get to spend money. You know, I spent money, and am now broke with a week left to go in the month. But oh well, life goes on. I got some neat stuff. Everything I'm wearing right now.
Oh.
Anyhow. So it downpoured, and when I decided to get out of bed that morning, several tents had been destroyed, including the people I was working for, whose pop up was now sitting on top of their merchandise. They were not happy. Thankfully, they went home. I stayed. That's another issue. entirely.
Yeah.
I stayed because I wanted peace and quiet.
Yeah.
But...
So to speak.
Well, we were understandably in anguish.
Yes, because it doesn't take much with us two.
Okay.
Anyhow. Love them, but...
Well, then they had half their merchandise destroyed, too.
They don't need any dramas to get into it with each other. That's another issue. Anyhow, so there was a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And our events are, you carry in, you carry out. Whatever you bring onto the land, including your garbage, every last cigarette butt, matchstick, and thing you take with you when you leave.
I see. That's kind
of... We apparently suspended most of that rule because, well, they weren't about to take their broken tents with them. You know, they weren't equipped to take a tent that now looked like a twisted erector set with them. So they made provisions for that.
Okay.
But...
But you were saying that there's kind of like an aisle and just people on one side got hit.
And just one, and only one side really got hit badly. The other side pretty much made it through.
Yeah.
Many tents, many people's personal tents got blown to pieces.
Oh.
Many people's, one person got a little too up close and personal with some lightning.
Ooh.
They're fine. They weren't hurt badly, apparently. At least not that I know of. They were, however, carted off in an ambulance.
Wow.
Now, which was interesting, because the ambulance would have had to have gotten there before the flood rose.
Well, maybe they were on call or standby or something.
Because there's only one way on and off this property.
Oh.
And you have to go over the bridge that has a lot of water over it at that moment.
Hmm.
Anyhow, that having been said,
yes,
there were, because it was so wet, we were able to have our ritual fires and stuff like that. The there was no burn ban.
Previous years there have been
a few times when there have been burn bans, which means no revel fire.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Beltane just ain't Beltane without revel fire. People look forward to that.
Yeah.
It's a huge event. And but I mean, what did happen there
mm-hmm.
was that our community, the pagan community, we came together. And we took care of each other.
Okay.
And, you know, since one of the meals, which is usually served, wasn't going to be, it was catered.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get there.
Ah.
We had our own meal. Everybody brought food from their tents.
That's nice.
Because people bring food.
And I'm sure that some people's provisions maybe got destroyed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those who... And so we had this huge potluck, and everybody got to eat, and everybody got to sit and sort of recover from the shock.
Yeah.
And still, the great majority of people, even, you know, some people left after the storm.
Sure.
As soon as the water receded.
Yeah.
But a great many people stayed, and people... just got through it, you know, and we got together and we acted like a community and we took care of each other. That's what being part of this community is. That's what being part of a community community should be. Pagans, you know, you ask five pagans what they believe in and you'll get five different deity, you know, pantheons and, you know, you'll get, but...
Because it's different for everyone,
I guess. It's different for everyone. It is. It's what people are attracted to, what draws them in, what is their thing that sings to them.
Yeah.
But Beltane, and Beltane, while it is about intimacy and sexuality and fertility primarily, it was also became a perfect time for people to be family.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, this is it's beautiful out there at night.
You see the stars and
you
everything.
Can see.
Yeah.
Yes. Here in Houston, you have the Aurora Urbanalis, which completely prevents you from seeing anything resembling all of the stars that are up there.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You look up, you might see the star. And the star just might be one of the satellites overhead.
Yeah.
It, out there, you see constellations. And as Sagan once said, billions and billions and billions of stars.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. About how many people normally go to this event? Do you have any idea?
Upwards of 200 to 300, 400,
okay.
Depending on, you know, who. We have had, from what I understand, upwards of 1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
On a good year. Various things happen and stuff, and, you know.
Yeah.
So you get smaller groups a lot of the time now, but a couple of hundred.
Okay.
200, 300 will show up, and we come from all over the place. This is not exclusively Texas residents. Texas pagans who come to this.
You get people from out of state?
I have made friends at these events who come from California and New Mexico and New York. One person I know comes from Boston. I mean, they come from far and wide to come to these events, and it's because you really...
That's odd. Because
when you're really when you're there, it's like you pass that bridge and you get onto the land, and it is and you know, when you're in tune with that space, it's literally like being in another world. Beyond the gates, you know, that's the mundane world.
Yeah.
Out there, you pass by those gates, and everything about that space is magical. Everything about that space is peaceful. Everything about that space is about the magic of the land.
Yeah.
It's about being out there with nature and getting in touch with that feeling out there. You know, there's ritual,
I do know, because, you know? I get that same feeling when I go to
the
PWA camp out. Yes. When you get on the land,
it's a completely different
world.
And
a lot has to do with the people there too. Because you are
absolutely
all one. You all have a bond.
We
with everyone
see each
there.
Other at these events. We have Beltane and Samhain.
Yeah.
Beltane being, you know, one end of the pagan year. Samhain,
the other. Yeah.
Pagan New Year.
Yeah.
And these people may have... Some of these people may not have seen each other in that 6 months. And some of them may have talked to each other 100 times online or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they hadn't seen each other in 10 years once they get up. Everybody's, you know, running up to each other and hugging each other and, you know, and greeting each other. And, you know, some pagans are a little more full of themselves than others. That's about standard for any large group of people.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, it's that feeling of family.
Yeah.
We are a family. We do take care of each other. There's one gentleman who recently lost, who, you remember the wildfires not so long ago?
Yes.
He lost several buildings on his property.
Mm-hmm.
He lost possessions. He lost a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And the community, and this was put out online, and the community held fundraisers and sent him stuff and, you know, and came together for him, you know, because he was in a bad spot,
mm-hmm.
you know. He still had part of his home.
Yeah.
But, you know, a large part of his life had...
Sure.
You know, his space, his sacred space, his... world had been hurt, and you know, the community stepped up to the plate and said, you know, we're not going to let you live through that alone. And that's cool, you know, that's what this should be about. That's, you know, there are a lot of pagan folks who don't exactly have a high opinion of some of the other belief systems out there, because we keep getting slammed by those other systems often enough. But when there's an emergency situation, when there is some need out there, I have seen them I have seen us as a community step up to the plate and say, okay, somebody needs.
Yeah.
What can we do? And that's what, you know, that's what being out there is like. It's you know.
Plus you got a new blue outfit.
Plus I got a new blue outfit.
Of course, just saying that you got a new outfit would be sufficient.
Sufficient.
Just saying blue would be redundant,
yes,
actually.
Absolutely.
You don't own anything that isn't blue.
Oh, yes, I do. I just wear blue stuff with it.
it's kind of like saying Jimmy doesn't wear anything that's not pink.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The I've seen him with not pink. It was frightening. Scared the hell out of us.
I wore green once.
Yeah. Scared the frell out of us.
That's kind of like Merlin not wearing something blue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
It's interesting. I think that
yes.
I've always I didn't know what it was, but when I grew up and found out that there was this thing called being pagan that, you know, mm-hmm. that made sense to me.
Yeah.
Unlike what I had grown up with. It was like, it was just that thing that clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding out that there, that, you know, even in a place, I mean, let's face it, this state is not well known for being the most liberal of...
You've noticed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. In the almost 19 years I have lived here, I have noticed.
You've noticed, yeah.
I would have never guessed.
Yeah.
And I grew up here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just color me surprised.
Oh, well.
They probably, you know, there are folks here who probably think Jesse Helms was too liberal. but when I found out that, one, there was a gay community here,
mm-hmm.
and two, there was a pagan community here,
hey,
and
hey.
Let me tell you, both of which seem to be a significant chunk of people.
Yeah.
And not always do the tween meet.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. A lot of pagans are either gay or bisexual.
Yes, there are quite a few, but, I mean, you don't always see them mixing together.
Mm. Yeah. The, you do at Beltane.
Ooh.
And surprisingly, from what...
Everybody gets sexual.
Hey, I got kissed by two men... At the same time, one of whom I knew was gay,
yeah.
and the other one I thought was almost exclusively straight.
Uh-huh.
Well,
Beltane is like Louis.
And he was kind of hot, and he was kind of hot, too.
See, but
that's a whole nother story.
That's a whole nother story.
And it may be that because it is Beltane that people... become more omnisexual than they normally would.
Yeah, mead doesn't hurt either.
That, yeah.
You know, copious amounts of mead don't hurt either.
And then I guess you were feeding the mead?
Yeah.
No. I wasn't inflicting that on anybody. I will not... I do not encourage people's addictions or frivolities having to do with alcohol.
I've seen...
However...
A six-pack and a joint... change
do wonders.
People's sexual orientations right and left. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were... And let me tell you. Now, the other thing that's...
Well,
the other
at least
thing
temporarily.
That's interesting at these, you know, there's a lot of people in the mundane world. You know, we have lots of hang-ups due to body types and
yes.
nakedness. And, you know, nakedness is a... Not a lot of hang-ups about that at these events.
You know, I have... this is telling on myself, but, you know...
We always tell on you anyway, so what's the difference?
When have I not told on myself on this show?
I mean, Chris and I tell on you all the time. What are you
talking
about?
I have never been one for public nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Never. And especially...
Merlin, scoot to the right a little bit. There's about to be lightning in the room.
Honestly, I never really have, even in my younger days, in public.
Mm-hmm.
And having AIDS for, you know, more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were a long-term survivor of AIDS, mm-hmm. there are changes to your body.
Oh, yes.
And they are not pleasant ones.
No, they're not.
And
going on 14 years here.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I kind of thought that with changes to my body, I thought I will never be naked around other people ever again.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not pretty.
Self-conscious.
I'm self-conscious.
About your physical.
However.
This is something I understand from birth.
You were talking about the magic of the land.
Yeah.
And when I went to my first PWA camp out,
mm-hmm.
which is clothing optional,
mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, I could never do that. I could never.
Yeah.
Not even there.
Yeah.
Not even among people who understand what mm-hmm. what it is to have these changes.
Right.
I was there maybe an hour. And it all came off because it was a very natural thing, and mm-hmm. people with worse bodies than mine
mm-hmm.
were naked and enjoying themselves, and I thought, why not?
Well, and from that fit day forward, all he took with him was a toothbrush.
Yeah. There you go.
When
a smile.
When I'm at... You know, how long did it take me to... I don't take off the lower half in public.
But you don't take off the upper half either.
I was shirtless in a matter of an hour while I'm at the event at Beltane or Samhain,
mm-hmm.
Out on the land there, I spend a considerable amount of time without my shirt on.
Yeah.
Which
it's the magic of the place.
It's the magic of the place.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't have to be self-conscious about the scars on my back
mm-hmm.
or, you know, whatever. The, as I'm always joking, when you're out at a pagan event, you know, you're going to see a lot of people with the body of gods.
Yeah.
Buddha and the Venus of Willendorf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, very
generously
fertile,
proportioned.
Generously
people.
Proportioned people,
yes.
Many of us.
Yes.
But when you're out there, I mean, it's a very natural thing. Nobody thinks about it. No, it's like, oh, look, boobs. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. Oh, look, she's okay.
Oh, look at him. Look at him. He must be Russian.
And he must be Italian.
Yeah. You know, you see all of these.
Exactly.
When you go to Hawaii, you see these middle-aged, very large men
mm-hmm.
wearing Speedos.
Uh-huh.
You know, Russian.
Yeah.
Got to be Russian.
Yeah. You know? It's just out there. It's whatever opinions people have of each other
mm-hmm.
as people that might float around here and there, because such things do in large groups.
Yes.
Nobody, they could give a frell about you being naked, you know?
Yeah. It's absolutely.
And, you know, it's just not, it is the magic of the land. It is that in that space, first of all, there are rules to being out there,
mm-hmm.
and you break those rules, and those who must be obeyed will have an issue with you.
Ah,
and you know, like no means no.
Yes,
and that sort of thing. But there is so very little of that. As blitzed as I have seen some people after a revel fire and stuff, I have seen very little in the way of disrespect toward each other,
mm-hmm.
in inappropriate behavior toward each other. I have seen people get piss face drunk and end up face first in the mud, which is not cute when you're naked and, you know... you know, you because you're digging mud out of places you didn't know you had places. But
I've done that with just plain sand.
Yeah, huh? Ooh.
Been there, done that.
Ooh, that hurts.
But I mean, it's
you're not kidding, especially when it got in the lube.
You know, people, when you're out on this land and you're feeling what's going on around you, mm-hmm. you're feeling the energy of the
yeah.
place. You're feeling the, you know, what's happening out there. You know, all these little details just don't matter. These.
Yes.
Bye bye. The it's. For 2 days before the event,
mm-hmm.
my sciatic nerve decided to play.
Oh.
From mid-thigh through the middle of my back.
Ooh.
On that side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on the land a half an hour.
It's gone.
Yep.
Gone.
I understand this.
You know?
Yeah.
It was just gone. And that's the thing. It's like there's very little in the way of self-conscious, you know.
Yeah.
There are lots of things I still won't do in front of people.
That's what's so liberating about yeah. this, and yeah. why you go back
exactly.
every time
exactly.
to get that feeling back.
To get that feeling mm-hmm. back, and in that space, being in that space for whatever amount of time I'm able to be there. And these, and depending on who I'm going with, uh-huh. I can be there as much as a week before, you know, during, up until it's over.
Yeah.
There's something about being there that makes you, for a while, better adjusted to dealing with the mundane world past the bridge.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing because, you know, we all get overloaded with the daily crapola of
sure
of life. We all let the bills and the health issues and the whatever
yep.
get to us. Mundane, everyday, what we have to live with
yeah.
stuff. And to be able to go out to a place like that with people who all share similar thoughts, feelings, ways of doing things, ways of being,
mm-hmm.
Issues that are so much alike, and certainly in the case of the camp out.
Yeah.
But all these people, I mean, there are people out there with, there isn't, maybe it's just that there's so many people out there, but there's always seem to be a very large contingent of people with physical issues.
Ah.
Of one kind or another. Heart issues and mobility
sure, yeah.
issues, and yet here they are out on the land, and let me tell you, there ain't no paved roads out there.
Yeah.
There ain't a spot of asphalt on this land. Not one.
Oh.
Patch. And they do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, they go and they do it, and out there they're okay. You know? And I really do think when you take that break and you get inside yourself
mm-hmm.
and still connected to the outside, you know, because it is that feeling of, that we are all connected. When you do that, when you really get in touch with that, it kind of makes you more able to deal with what's going on in your mundane
yeah.
world for a while.
Yes,
know?
Yes,
that's
it does.
The thing. It's,
it
it's
does.
Being able to connect to that for a while, ground and just sort of
okay.
That energy. Yeah.
So, if kind of officially starts on a Friday.
Yeah.
And
usually Thursday night, Friday morning.
Thursday night, Friday morning. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it. The
people
closing ceremonies are Saturday night and people leave on Sunday. Normally.
Normally. But what happens is there are workshops to be had.
That's
on
what
various
I wanted
subjects.
To. Yeah, that's what
there,
I wanted to find out. What can you give us an overview of what happens?
Well, people will sign up to do various workshops on various pagan topics, ritual. I mean, we have things for, you know, everything from how to build a flute to, you know, various aspects of pagan belief, meditational things, yoga things. There are various workshops for that. Most of those were canceled due to the weather this past one.
Yeah.
But we have different topics and things that people can go to.
Does the David Great Bear go out there with the sweat lodge?
I didn't see him.
Oh, okay.
But people will do that. People will offer things like that and that'll be offered by any number of members, you know, anybody who signs up in advance, and it gets put on the schedule, and people do that. People will
yes.
Yeah. it's been a long day. People go out there and they'll teach and go to the classes.
Okay,
and these things, and they and there's a lot of, you know, there are so many people, and everybody has their own, and some of the people, their groups will come who are all part of the same coven, grove, group, whatever, circle, and they will hold rituals that are open to other people out there.
Oh, okay. So there are some closed particular types.
And usually the rituals that are out there are specific to that time of year.
Yeah.
At Samhain, there will be rituals that are in memory of people we've lost during the course of the year. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
At Beltane, there will be fertility ritual. There will be rebirth rituals. And rituals specific to people's intentions, such as somebody who, you know, say somebody wants a new job, somebody wants a new place, to be open to the idea of what is their next move.
Yeah.
And they will put that, their intention, into whatever ritual they get involved in. But out there, there are closed rituals. We sometimes hold hand fastings out there. Hand fastings are essentially pagan weddings. However, the difference being that while they can be also legal bindings, hand fastings are considered a year and a day.
Oh.
You join for a year and a day, and if at the end of that you choose to stay together, you can choose to have another ceremony that binds you as husband and husband, man and wife, whatever the combination is. And year and a day, and it's a nice idea. We had a year and a day. We had a hand fasting across the bridge from two different sides of the bridge because of the flood.
Oh.
Now, I wasn't there for it, but I'm kind of curious of how that worked out.
Yeah.
Because part of a hand fasting is you take a rope and you tie the wrists together of the two people being hand fasted.
Yes.
And while it's a very short distance from one end of the bridge to the other, more than a hand stretch. So I'm kind of wondering how they worked that one out.
Toss the rope between the two of them.
Yeah. And it was just the idea that, you know, here it was, ingenuity amongst pagans.
Yeah.
They made a way for that to happen, despite the fact that the husband-to-be was on one side of the bridge, the wife-to-be was on the other. Because they had arrived at different times. And got stuck at different times on the wrong side, on the other side of the bridge. But we still managed to make it work.
Yeah.
You know? We're good at improvising stuff.
How long was that bridge out?
most of a day.
Wow.
The water receded enough for people to leave, for people who wanted to leave across it, mid to late afternoon.
On Saturday?
On Saturday.
Wow.
Yep.
So once you were there, you were there.
Mm-hmm. Once you were there, you were staying for a while.
Ooh.
But, you know, we improvise.
Yeah.
We, people do their thing.
Okay.
We had, and then, you know, people will talk online or whatever, and we will, and most of us won't see each other. Large numbers of us will not see each other until Samhain.
Mm.
You know.
Well, it sounds like a fun weekend.
It's a blast.
When it doesn't rain.
When it doesn't rain.
Yes.
And still, I will have you know that I managed to make it through the entire week. It's mud, muck, and all. Without falling down once.
Really?
Which is more than I can say for my trip to Walgreens.
Earlier this evening.
Here.
Yeah, when Merlin does great in mud, but when it comes to a tile floor...
Apparently tile floors are harder than mud for me to deal with, because I did a face...
Yeah, right? I'm sitting in there in the checkout line, and all of a sudden I hear jingle, jingle, pop!
Yeah.
I look over, I'm like, and the person at the checkout counter was like, is he okay? And I looked over, and I was like, yeah, he'll be fine, give him just a second. Because mm-hmm. I've experienced Merlin going through before.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you don't, when that happens, Merlin gets himself up.
And, if I don't get myself up, just dial 911.
Because
otherwise I'm fine. I will be fine.
Yeah. Because the first time I had Merlin fall down in front of me, I offered my hand to help him up, and he's like, no, I'll get up.
Okay.
There are
times when it is easier for me to get myself up than to have people try to help me.
Yeah, that's why I stayed.
Where to reach for?
Yeah,
that's why I just stayed over by the counter and I looked at the salesperson. I was like, oh, he'll be fine. Yeah. Give him just a second.
Mm-hmm. I have a vivid memory of college when I fell through a doorway
because
it snapped back on me too quick, and seven people trying to pick me up all at once, and I was like, thank you, but please let me do this. Seven of you trying to pick me up all at once is not going to work.
Yeah.
You learn to adjust.
You know what it takes for you to get up.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's the thing. But
okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. I've wanted to know more about Beltane.
Yeah. It's and I'm sure I'm missing details somewhere, but you know.
But it's a good overview.
We also have lots of music out there. We have lots of music. We have lots of music played by people who are there. We have lots of music played by... We bring it... There's a lot of pagan music out there now.
Yeah.
And we have... Especially this one group that we have that has this really hot drummer who has these fabulous tattoos up and down his arms.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Matter of fact, I have a CD in my CD player right now that has music from one of the other groups that came this time. That was actually recorded at Samhain last year.
Oh.
So they made us... So CMA actually made a CD and out of their performance and was offering it at Beltane.
Great.
So, yeah, stuff like that happens too. Lots of music.
Speaking of music.
Pagan
snow
from music.
Can you play some for us?
Maybe.
Please?
If you're nice enough.
I'm real nice.
All right, how about some Elton John?
Okay.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. Little Elton John coming up.
And just one more beer, and I don't hear you. darkest dreams. I'm stuck by a haunted social scene. Just a pawn I played by a dominating queen. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Damn it, listen to it go. I'm sleeping with my bed at saving time. Thank God my music's still alive.
Fingers on my bones, feeling me. watch the things my body does. They have gone beyond belief. I can feel them in my mind, but I think they might be the creeps. But my tongue is tasting more than my throat can swallow down. I'm licking up this store. Choking, I am down on the shore, waving my skull. Radio activity, every station playing in my face. It's not being here, everybody. They think the troublesome boy that's in their ears, that fades away beneath the credits, and they think it could have stood and it is. But my eyes are seeing more than a light could let inside. TV stations in my soul broadcast color. Shore waving my skull, radioactivity, every station playing in my face. It's not me in tears, everybody.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 98.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org on the World Wide Web. And we're going to go into a little bit more music. We'll be back in a little bit, and here we go.
Thank you. I'm gonna falling love is fair. I turn her the cheek, and I feel the slap and the sting of the foul night air. And I know you're only human, and I haven't got talking room. But tonight, while I'm making excuses, some other woman is making love to you. Somebody bring me some water. Can't you see I'm burning alive? Can't you see my face? Got another lover. I don't know how I'm gonna survive. Somebody bring me some water. Can't you see it's out of control? Baby's got my heart and my baby's got my mind. Tonight the sweet devil, sweet devil's got. Will this night be through? When I hear the breaking glass, I only feel the steel of the red hot truth. And I'd do anything to get it out of my mind. I need some insanity of that temporary kind. Tell me, how will I ever be the same when I know that that woman is whispering your name?
We got to play music.
Yay!
That's what I miss on this show. We used to play a lot more music than we used to. And we had the opportunity tonight to do that. Mm-hmm. So some of my favorites from years ago. And
of course, just a few random picks at random.
Yeah. Starting with the last one being Melissa Etheridge, Bring Me Some Water. And that's particularly a favorite of mine, because that's when I discovered Melissa Etheridge. We had some lesbians call and request it years ago. I was not playing Melissa at that time. She wasn't even out. And I went out and bought it. And, you know, the first time I heard it, I knew this was a great classic song, and I've been playing it ever since. Before that, we had Nunez, who's relatively new on the scene as compared to Melissa. Local. Nunez is local, and I got this CD last year. That was Cry Mercy. Before that, we had a real oldie, Janis Joplin, with Cosmic Blues. And before that...
We had some Bob Hartman.
Yeah.
Doing Coming Out.
Yeah, that's kind of old, too.
Yeah. Dream On One, doing Things Can Only Get Better.
Yep.
Before that, Sister Double Happiness. Lightning Struck.
Yeah.
Then I...
it was you.
Yeah, then I pulled out one just out of the blue, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus doing Gimme, Gimme, Gimme.
A Man After Midnight.
Yes. Dudley Saunders, Loving Crystal.
Thank you so much. I love everything that Dudley Saunders has ever done. He does really kind of interesting, complicated, thoughtful songs.
Yeah. And then the first one from that set, right after we talked to Merlin, was Elton John, Someone Saved My Life Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, had a nice little set there.
Yeah, that was nice. Thank you. Before we get into the roundtable...
Which I'll have Jose come over to this side, so he can look at the computer.
Absolutely.
We had a nice letter come in.
We did! I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but you have.
Yeah, I read it before the show. One of our MBBs wrote to us. He wrote in saying he wanted to say how much he enjoys our show.
Mm-hmm.
He specifically mentioned that he heard about Cade Michael and his magazine About.
Oh!
He said, specifically, he said he couldn't help but hear his voice, which sounded sexy. He wants to get the magazine, so we're going to go ahead and send him over the address so that he can go ahead and order the magazine from Cade.
Okay. Cade is particularly sexy, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. Where was it? He says he can mail the money off from his account there at the prison.
Or I don't know how that works. Yeah. I know that the publications have to come from the publisher.
Yeah.
So
we'll go ahead and send that address to him and everything. He says it sounds like a good magazine. He wants to get it so that he can read it and also turn on a few of the other men there.
Cool.
Onto the magazine. He's asked if any of us would like to have a pen pal,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So, if any of our crew want to correspond with the gentleman, we'll pass that address on to them.
Okay.
He's also asked in his postscript here if he could get the address to the Dallas Voice newspapers because he wants to get that one also.
Oh, okay.
And apparently he's been in for quite some time now.
Yeah.
Got a very long sentence.
Oh.
He was incarcerated when he was 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's now 51.
Whoa.
So.
He's been incarcerated about probably as long as this show's been on the air.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doesn't speak of any parole time, but he definitely is going to be in for a very long time. Because he's got a stacked sentence.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you for writing.
Yeah, it was a very nice letter. We appreciate that.
Okay.
If any more of our MBBs out there listening and you want to write in, it is easy to get to us. You can address your letter to KPFT After Hours. That's at 419 Lovett Boulevard in Houston, Texas, 77006.
Yeah, that's it.
So, where'd Jose go?
Jose went flying into the next room, and
Jose,
here
get your tail in here, Jose. Let's do a little round table. Hello, everyone.
Anybody else going to speak? Hello?
Hey, are you people going to get on?
Hello.
Come on, guys. Don't be afraid of the mics.
Come on.
I know you're not used to seeing them that big and black and fuzzy normally, but, you know.
Come on. Come on, guys. Get up here.
Oh, come on. We'll make room.
And there's...
You never know. You might...
An open mic.
There we go.
Put your headphones on.
Oh, sheesh.
Oh, my goodness.
This is obviously God telling us that I shouldn't be here right now.
Sorry, boys. I'm over here, like, looking for...
Okay, what do you got so far, Jose?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start with something that is coming across the wire from Iraq.
Iraq, huh?
Iraq, whatever. Report Iraqi militia killing gay men with painful anal glue torture is the headline here. The International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission writes, the following is a translation of a story from, let's see, Al Arabiya, a UAE-based media network, which was published on its Arabic website a few hours ago, while IGLHRC was not verified. Of all the allegations, many are consistent with patterns of human rights violations being reported from within the country. The translation, a prominent Iraqi human rights activist says that Iraqi militias have deployed a painful form of torture against homosexuals by closing their anuses using Iranian gum. Ina Muhammad told Arabian.net that Iraqi militias have deployed an unprecedented form of torture against homosexuals by using a very strong glue that will close their anus, according to her. The new substance is known in the Americas as HUM, which is an Iranian manufactured glue that is applied to the skin, sticks to it, and can only be removed by surgery.
Ouch.
After they glue the anus of the homosexuals, they can give them a drink that causes diarrhea. Since the anus is closed, the diarrhea causes death.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
Now this, no, that's not, not, oh, wow.
Yikes.
I can't, I can't even.
Eesh.
That's just wrong.
Yes.
I don't even know what to say there. That's
just, wow.
Shows the brutality of our world today. Really does.
According to this human rights activist, for the past 3 weeks, a crackdown on homosexuals has been going on based on a religious decree that demands their death. Yet again, more stuff being done in the name of pick your deity. Dozens have been targeted. She says that the persecution of homosexuals is not confined to the Shiite clerics. Some Sunni leaders have also declared the death penalty for sodomy on satellite channels.
Wow.
Oh, I don't think we want to see the video with that one either.
No, we'll pass on that.
So,
that's...
Thank you.
Wow. Yes. I think that's probably the horrific, most painful way I've heard of dying. Oh, and imagine that. Look at the ad over there.
Hey, I'm a pain freak, and I'm freaked out.
The Philips one right there?
Oh, yeah, Philips colon health. Oh, the irony. Oh, the irony of that. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Sean, did you serve in Iraq or not?
No.
No? Well, I mean, I'm waiting for you guys to weigh in over there, but I don't hear anything.
Well, I think after that little argument, I don't think he's ever going to want to serve in Iraq. I'm just glad I don't live there.
Wow.
That just, I mean,
that country has a long way to go before they're civilized.
Yes. They'll never be civilized at this point.
Wow.
Not if they go.
That's just too much. To
shut.
That just, oof.
I'm kind of dumbfounded
like
by that
pain,
one.
But that is way too much.
That's,
that is
pretty bad. Oh, let's see.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, death by diarrhea. Really? Now, come on.
that's sad, sick, and...
It's, the worst way to die?
Yeah.
The hell of a way to go. I mean,
it's like, I gotta go to the bathroom, but I can't. Oh, my God.
That's just sad. Let's go on to the recent controversy here that... everyone's favorite fat little homo is stirred up here. Perez Hilton.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that tyrant queen.
Gag me with a spoon.
Yeah, I wish somebody would gag him with a spoon.
Dude, her face did fall off.
Perez Hilton certainly presented a good question to Miss California at the Miss USA pageant. Hilton's question, Vermont recently became the fourth state to legalize same-sex marriage. Do you think every state should follow suit? Why or why not? Miss California's answer. Well, I think it's great that Americans are able to choose one or another. We live in a land that you can choose same-sex marriage or opposite marriage. And you know what? In my country and in my family, I think that I believe a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised. And that's how I think that it should be, between a man and a woman. Thank you. She lost.
Good.
Of course she obviously lost.
I want to know who gave this cow a question to ask on a Miss America pageant, honestly. Andy Warhol, call Perez. Your 15 minutes are up.
Yeah, well...
What the hell kind of question is that for a pageant, really?
The better question is, what kind of an answer is, I was raised that way? Well, then you were raised wrong.
Sure, she's an idiot.
Well, he did ask her opinion.
Well, yes, and everybody's... Opinions are like diapers. Fill in the rest. little shout out to some people there. I mean, really, who the hell let Perez Hilton on television?
I mean, he needs
to stay his fat behind where it belongs, in front of his computer.
Yeah.
Where he can let out all of his anger, but nobody has to hear his.
Yes. Oh,
no one has to hear his.
Oh, wait.
I wouldn't want anybody with that opinion winning a title.
No, I mean, really?
If anybody did, I mean, they'd have a lot of very pissed off people at them.
The thing is that, I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, it really shows you how much times have changed. Because, I mean, 20 years ago, she would have won hands down.
I'm sorry. Milestone of progress, that may be. I don't know. I got to be honest with you. That answer was, she deserved to lose. And be honest with you, I mean, the whole general thing is, of course, it shouldn't have been asked in the first place. But to give that kind of an answer is just pretty much shooting yourself in the foot. And I don't think the precedence of the fact that it's a milestone in the community should take over the fact that I don't like her. So,
speaking of pumping things up.
Oh, God.
Yeah, guess what, kids? I pulled this one off the Daily Rotten.
Yay! Ooh.
The headline reads, this is from BBC News via the Daily Rotten, trying desperately to measure up.
This ought to be good.
Doctors in Asia are treating an increasing number of men with severe injuries who have tried to increase the size of their penises by injecting themselves with Vaseline and other oils.
Oh, God.
Now, doctors in the West say the trend for self-injection is catching on in the UK and US.
Oh, no.
All in the name of a perfect body. Injuries consist of severe deformations caused by tissue damage and erectile dysfunction.
I don't like hypodermic needles as it is. It gets better.
Just you wait. Gangrene can also develop if injection causes infection.
Oh, my.
The practice of embellishing the human body by injecting oils beneath the skin has been known for over a century, according to a urologist, Institute of Urology and Nephrology in London. Increasing the size and girth of the penis is common in Southeast Asia as well as Japan. Fill in your stereotypical joke later.
Yay.
Travel. Doctors believe that men in Britain may be becoming interested in the practice after traveling to Asia on holiday. However, this urologist and his colleagues at the IUN were extremely surprised when a 31-year-old British-born man presented at their clinic for treatment recently for a gross abnormality of the penis and ulceration as a result of injecting oils under his skin. This just sounds really ridiculous and painful.
Who would ever be interested in doing that? I mean, I'm sorry, but I was always taught that what was it that I said earlier? It's not the size of the boat, it's the motion of the ocean. And like I said, I'm afraid of hypodermic needles as is. I don't think I would want anyone anywhere near that particular part of my anatomy.
Okay, here's the thing, guys. Yeah. Look, you were blessed with what God gave you. Accept it.
Really?
Because, look, you're only causing more damage by doing this to yourself.
Spot on.
Yeah.
And what the hell is... Okay. I'm sorry. What the hell is wrong with you to be doing this in the first place? Do you really feel that inadequate, or do you want to be cool like the Asian guys and go do it yourself? Come on now.
That's so true. So very true.
Now, there are operations where you can have the genitals altered, but no plastic surgeon, at least in their right mind, will conduct a penis girth enlargement operation.
Take some Insight and shut up already, for God's sake.
Really, I mean, if you want to get ripped off, get Insight or one of those other pills on TV.
Buy a penis pump.
True.
And speaking of ripped off as it is, gangrene?
Yeah, gangrene.
It's not
going
to be that much use to you if it falls off anyway.
Right.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
All right. Let's stay on that side of the pond there. This comes from Toll Road. UK mom fined for homophobic abuse at her son and his boyfriend.
Oh, my. Mm.
A mother from Aberdeen has been fined for threatening her estranged son and his boyfriend with text messages and verbal homophobic abuse, the BBC reports. Celia Duncan, 42, abused 16-year-old Stuart O'Neill when she spotted him holding hands with his boyfriend, Duncan, who admitted breach of peace, swore at the pair, and called them poofs. Aberdeen Sheriff Court heard she was fined £250. Fiscal dispute. Cecilia Dickoff, am I reading that right? Prosecuting told the court the complainer was walking with his friend on Back Hilton Road when he saw Ms. Duncan's car going past. Brakes suddenly turned around and stopped. He knew it was her car and started to run away. He and his friend climbed a wall and ran through a wood, and the accused chased him, shouting at them, making homophobic remarks, Ms. Dickoff said to Mr. O'Neill's mother. Later sent him a voicemail saying, "I will get you, believe me, and you will get your head kicked in," she told the court. He then got a text message that said, "I will get you and your poof."
Wow, nothing like a mother's love, eh?
All right.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, yeah.
I'm
sorry, though. Poof? I've never heard that one before.
Yes,
yeah.
Poof or I've never poofy. Yes.
That's
it's foreign slut.
I'm 26 and never heard that.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, I have heard that before.
I've heard it.
No, I have too. It's an English slang word.
Yes.
Kind of like
fag for cigarette.
Fag for cigarette and stuff like that.
Mm. Well, you know, my mother, when I came out to her, she was... said one of the sweetest things to me, which was, "I don't see how any mother, anyone that could call themselves a mother rightfully, could ever look at their child and not love them because of such a choice like that." And that's to hear a mother threatening her child with death over his you know, choice and his sexuality is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, women like this should be put to death. I'm sorry. But if you can't be a mother, you shouldn't have had kids in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You should have your kids taken away.
Something like that. I mean, kick your head in?
Yeah.
Really?
That is, like, very...
I mean, she's threatening...
I can't find the words that won't get us kicked off the air. So
again.
It's a little bit much. Let's leave it at that, shall we?
Yeah.
At least she went a bridge too far on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
All right. So... y'all have heard about bullying, you know, being in the news lately.
Yeah.
The headline here from Toll Road, another 11-year-old commits suicide over anti-gay bullying.
11 years old?
Uh-huh. Yes. The recent bully-side deaths of Eric Mohat and Carl Walker Hoover certainly weren't the first and won't likely be the last, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, definitely.
But I didn't expect to read this story about Yahim Herrera, which is similar in almost every aspect to the other two, just a week later. And like Walker Hoover's, it includes a school tone deaf to mother's concerns, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports. Of course, we're in Atlanta. It's in the South. Good God. Anyhow, on Thursday afternoon, after returning home from Dunair Elementary School, Yahim quietly went into his room and hanged himself. His 10-year-old sister, Yaralis, also a fifth grader, discovered Yahim's dead body. His sister was screaming, "Get him down, get him down," said Norman King, who helped raise Yahim since the boy was 2 years old. When King got to the room, he saw Yaralis holding her brother, trying to remove the pressure of the noose her brother had fashioned with a fabric belt. Yahim was bullied relentlessly, his family said. Keen said the family knew the boy was a target, but until his death, they didn't understand the scope. We'd ask him, "Yahim, what's wrong with you?" Keen recalled. He'd never tell us. He didn't want his sister to tell either. She witnessed much of the bullying and many times rose to her brother's defense, Keen said. They called him gay and a snitch, his stepfather said. All the time they call him this. In an interview with WSB-TV, the boy's mother, Masika Bermudez, also said her son was being bullied at school. She said she had complained to the school. She said she asked him about the bullying Thursday when he came home from school, and he denied it. She sent him to his room to calm down. It was the last time that she saw him alive. Look, just because somebody is accusing you of being gay, calling you fag, whatever, don't take it to heart.
You know, if there's anybody, I don't exactly know who all is listening right now, but if there's anybody that's listening to this and is in one of those situations at school, whatever it is, do not take that shit to heart. I'm sorry for cursing, but it's just, that kind of stuff makes me sick in my stomach to even hear something like that, that somebody would take their own life over that kind of thing. It's, why would you, how is it even conceivable to want to take your own life?
Especially over, at 11 years old.
At 11 years old, that is a crime. That is an absolute crime. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody here that's not, you know, had to go through the standard high school, "Oh my God, you're gay" bullying. I mean, yeah, it's a terrible thing to have to go through, but to commit suicide over it is just, it's heart-wrenching. It really is.
And there are, I mean, if you are really questioning and you're young like that, there are resources out there for you. Here locally we have Hatch, Houston Area Teen Coalition of Homosexuals. They can be reached at hatchyouth.org. We have the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. So, I mean, there's resources out there for you.
713-529-3211.
Thank you, Jimmy. If you're being bullied, really, honestly, I'll tell you right now, there's no real options for you. Unless your teacher sees you physically getting bullied, a lot of the time, they're not going to do anything. You can go to your principal. You can go to your congressman. It's not going to happen.
Nope. It's a shame. Terrible shame, though.
You can go to your parents. You can go to your school board. You can go to your school board representative. Nothing's going to happen until they see it happen to you. And 9 times out of 10, these bullies, they're not going to let anybody see them do it.
Absolutely not. You know, I mean, on one note, I don't even really understand what would make anybody want to hate on somebody else like that. I mean, I could be not even in the homosexual community and still see no reason whatsoever to tear someone down.
It's really all about, it's psychological is what it is.
Well, exactly. They're tearing other people down so they can feel better about themselves.
I mean, and we've had 3 11-year-olds who never achieved their full potential in their lives because they were being bullied and because nobody at the school anywhere was doing anything about it, and because the child was too scared to come forward. There's ways around this. You can talk to a counselor, you can talk to an adult, somebody, anybody, but whatever you do, don't take that risk. Don't go out there and do this. It isn't worth it.
It's not.
If you do this, they've won.
Exactly. Too true. And, you know, I've just recently gotten through that stage. And I'll be honest with you. You need to be proud of who you are. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. And even if you can't reach out, you need to be proud of yourself.
you cannot just let them, like you said, let them win. Because that's all that's doing is letting them win and showing that we are not proud enough or accepting of our own selves to get through a little bit of bullying and name calling. It's once again, it's a crime. It's a crime.
All right, we're going to close out the show here. Another one from the Daily Rotten. This comes from the WatertownDailyTimes.com. This is in Canton, Ohio, I guess. Bender resigns following guilty plea. Canton. St. Lawrence County Deputy Highway Superintendent Carl O. Bender resigned Wednesday following his admission to participating in zapping a 16-year-old boy wearing a dog shot collar on his genitals.
Oh, my.
The resignation comes a week after Bender, 43, of St. Ogdensburg, pleaded guilty in Ogdensburg City Court to a reduced charge of second-degree harassment, a violation. He was sentenced to a one-year conditional discharge and paid a $270 fine. Mr. Bender was suspended by the county April 7th for 30 days without pay pending further action. St. Lawrence County Administrator Karen M. St. Hilaire said the resignation was effective immediately. Mr. Bender oversaw the county's solid waste department, which operates transfer stations in this area. At this point, we wish Carl the best, Ms. St. Hilaire has said. We will be moving forward and looking to fill the position with a qualified engineer. Let's try someone who's not a sexual deviant for a change.
Oh, what a that sounds like a shocking revelation to me.
So a dog collar, shocking dog collar around the genitals.
Right.
That is horrific. It's absolutely horrific.
It's beyond. It's not even kinky. It's pretty sick at this point.
Yeah, we passed the limit of kinky a while back.
Yeah,
there.
We did.
Well, that's no. We're getting into like horror story territory.
It's like torture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're gonna wrap it up here. Thank you all for participating. Good night, everybody.
We'll see y'all next week.
All right, everybody. You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org on the World Wide Web.
That's right. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
Up next is Zydeco Pasale.
Zydeco Pasale, Mary is here, ready to give it to you.
And coming up next is your PSA.
Yay, share.
Have you ever wanted to discover what KPFT is like during its most energetic moments? Now is your chance. In May, KPFT kicks off its Spring 2009 Pledge Drive, and we need your help to make it a success. You can put your spare time to use by volunteering to answer phones during the drive.
Sign up for one of our phone volunteer trainings at 12 noon, either Thursday, April 28th or Wednesday, April 29th, or at 6 p.m., Thursday, April 30th.
The sessions will be held at KPFT Studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard. Your efforts make a difference and can make this a fun and successful drive. Evening and weekend shifts are available.
Just sign up for one of our volunteer trainings at 12 noon, either Tuesday, April 28th or Wednesday, April 29th, or at 6 p.m. Thursday, April 30th.
Trainings will be held at KPFT Studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard, near downtown Houston.
Join our team.
You are tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Buy a ticket for KPFT's 39th birthday car raffle. A 2005 Mercury Grand Marquis GS with only 20,000 actual miles on it could be yours for a mere $20. Your raffle ticket purchase will go towards supporting KPFT's programming, and if you win, it should be the cheapest vehicle purchase you'll ever make. You can buy tickets at KPFT's offices, 419 Lovett Boulevard in Montrose, weekdays between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., or stop your favorite KPFT on-air personality or local station board member. They should have tickets. Raffle rules can be found at our website, kpft.org. If it's your style to put things off until the last minute, we'll be selling raffle tickets at the International Festival at our booth and also during the Art Car Parade on Saturday, May 9th. The drawing...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to. but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.